Recently, I was engaged in a minor move from one set of rooms in the rectory from where I live to another set down on the first floor. I had some help, and one of the things that's probably the biggest part of my move are the books in my library. Someone who's on the altar discovered my high school yearbook. Someone else who is the pastor of this parish took pictures of some of the things in the high school yearbook. So I just want you to know I have a bounty out for them. Get me their cell phones unlocked so that I can erase any pictures they have. But I looked at them a little bit later on, and as you know, in a lot of our high school yearbooks, one of the things you put in there are the activities that you were involved in, offices that you may have held, things that you've done that you kind of mark as your achievements or your accomplishments during your 4 years of high school. But also, at least in our class, one of the things we were asked to provide too was our ambition. What did we look forward to in life? How would we measure success? Go back and pick up your high school yearbook. See what you've put down if you had an ambition there. I looked at some of the other ones around, and some of them were, you know, what you'd expect, to major in music and be a great opera singer. One guy wanted to be the ruler of a small foreign nation. Mine was something to the extent of to leave a mark on the world and never mature to the point that life became dull or meaningless. I can check that one off. Another one of my classmates, for his ambition, his answer was to want what I have rather than have what I want. I thought that was the best ambition of anyone in my high school graduating class. To want what I have, not to have what I want. The question I think we have to ask ourselves is, how do we define success in our lives? Certain definitions can really lead us down a path of one frustration after another, because it's almost like we can never get enough. The man in the gospel parable today, he was a quite successful man. The harvest had come in, more than he could store, more than he could ever use. And his answer to the dilemma of having the barns that were not big enough were to tear them down and build bigger barns. In other words, accumulate as much as he could and hold on to it as long as he could. He could only see a definition of success that was equated with having his own needs, his own wants, his own desires met or exceeded. And even when they were exceeded, he was going to build a barn that would hold even more. My friends, do you ever find yourself under that kind of pressure yourself? Looking at what you want to do with life in terms of your goals, your objectives, the things that are self-validating. So often we go for those things that are tangible, measurable, physical. We live in a culture that often rewards us with how much stuff we have accumulated. Now, I believe sometimes we reinforce that even in our families. How's your son doing? How's your daughter doing? He, she has this job, and he's already making six figures. Has a beautiful, handsome spouse. His children are all smart. He's climbing up the corporate ladder. He's very successful. When I hear that, I want to come back and say, but how are they doing? How are they doing? See, the man in the gospel, he had the best of everything, we can presume. He certainly had the resources to build the barns and fill them, and then to be able to tear them down and start over and fill them again. But how was he doing? He was living this Machiavellian life. I'll store it up so then I don't have to do anything else except eat, drink, and be merry. And we remember the rest of the sentence, right? For tomorrow we die. And essentially that's what he was confronted with in the gospel. You fool! Don't you know that this very day your life will be required of you? In other words, within 24 hours, you're gone. And this is what you leave behind. On our tombstones, generally speaking, where there may be, besides our name, maybe some sentiments or symbols, generally speaking, you'll have two things on there, two dates. The date or at least the year in which one was born, the date or at least the year in which one died. Many of you might be familiar with the poem, The Dash. And I'm not going to read it or recite it. But the sentiments of the poem are basically, what's most important is not the date we came in or the date we departed, but what we did in between. It's not that we had long life or short. It's what we did with the time that we have. What the man in the parable today failed to recognize was he saw all the stuff that he had is what he had accomplished, what he had earned. That was his success. What he failed to realize, I think sometimes that we all struggle to remember, is all we have is gift. From the first breath that we take when we come into this world to the last, all that we have comes from God. God gives us the stuff to be successful. God gives us the talents or the abilities to be able to do the things that we do. And this is not some kind of condemnation about having things, but it is a condemnation about letting things have you. When my things own me, when I'm driven by having the best, the next, the better, where have I allowed room for God to work on me? When I look at my life as if I'm not successful at everything, and a failure or a fault or a shortcoming comes along, and it can destroy me or destroy my ego, what am I saying that success is measured by? Is it always coming in on top, no matter what? And sadly, that is an attitude that we have to contend with within our culture today. The man here had so many opportunities. He had more than enough that season. How many could he have fed? How could he have shared? How could have generosity made an impact on the lives of others? My friends, in our lives, we're all gifted with whatever talents or abilities that we have. How are they making a difference in the world around us? That's the challenge of Jesus Christ today. How many times do we hear treasure referred to in Jesus' teaching? He tells the one parable of the man who finds a treasure in a field, goes out, sells everything he has to buy that field, goes in and digs up the treasure. He speaks of the person who finds the pearl of great price. My friends, we have the treasure. We have the pearl. We have the formula for success. It's our invitation to enter in to the kingdom of God. It's our identity as being brothers and sisters. The poor man in the gospel, it reads like a Charles Dickens novel, doesn't it? His life is going to be required of him. And what is he left with? You know, one thing we all have in common is that someday we will be rolled into church for the last time. And our casket may sit at the foot of the altar. The stuff, the things that we have, even if we could stuff them all into the casket or into our grave, what good would they do? How do we want to be remembered? What are we going to do with that period of the dash? We're not going to be remembered by the house we lived in, the car we drove, how far up the corporate ladder we went. We're going to be made remembered by our generosity or lack of thereof. We're going to be remembered, hopefully, by how we respond to the invitation of Jesus to a life of discipleship, of making a difference in our world, of drawing other people into the love of God by the way that we love. How are we going to be remembered? Hopefully not by stuff that we acquire, but the marks that we leave, the witness that we bear, the fidelity in which we answer the call. So I really believe the question all of us need to answer today, or at least take to prayer and bring before the Lord, is regardless of what it may have been years ago, what is our ambition now? What do we hope to do, to accomplish, to achieve? Not necessarily acquire. With whatever time God gives us from this day forward. You know, in my priesthood, I've ministered to many people who were in their last days of life. And sometimes I would hear people express regrets for things that they weren't able to do or accomplish or achieve. Usually it came down to, I wish I'd spent more time with my family. I wish I'd engaged my faith more seriously. You know, the one thing I've never heard anyone say they regret, I regret I didn't work more. I regret I didn't have a better house, a better car, a better position. Because when push comes to shove, regrets don't tend to be related to things, do they? They tend to be related to relationships. And what is it that colors all relationships? Our generosity and our ability to love. Let's just take the supreme example. How do we remember Jesus? It's not by the house he lived in. It's not by the mode of transportation that he took. It wasn't even just by the company that he kept, although that often sticks in our minds. We remember how he laid down his life. How he generously poured out himself. The guy in the gospel didn't have it 100% wrong. It's not a bad goal to eat, to drink, to be merry. But it's not all about self-consumption and self-gratification. My friends, whenever we come to celebrate the holy sacrifice of the Mass, in so many words, isn't that Christ's invitation to us? To eat his body, to drink his blood, to be merry, to be joyful, in knowing that we belong
as members of his kingdom. So again, take it to prayer. What is your ambition? What does success look like to you? Amen.